Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Another week is beginning, and we are 8 days removed from Easter. As we look forward, I wonder what's next for you. Here's an important question for all of us, no matter where you live in the world or your age. What difference will the resurrection of Jesus make in the practical stuff of your life in the weeks ahead? As I reflect this morning on what I know is going on in the lives of people I care deeply about, I suspect it's much the same with people you know. So here's how we apply that question to real life. For families, counting the days till high school graduation for their teenager, and then what's next? What difference does the resurrection of Jesus make? For the elderly couple dealing with major health issues, which may leave one of them a widow or widower very soon, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make? For hard-working single parents trying to make ends meet, but inflation is forcing them to make gut-wrenching choices, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus make? For the single adult wondering if they'll ever find a person with whom they will risk entering the covenant of marriage, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus make? For the politician or educator or law enforcement person or judge living their profession in such a confused, violent world, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus make? Are those fair questions, my Walking with Jesus friends? So let's personalize it. What difference does the resurrection of Jesus make for you and me when we are engaged in the real stuff of life? That is the question the friends of Jesus were wrestling with 8 days after that Passover Easter weekend, which had shaken their lives to the very core. Over the weekend, we were with Thomas and the others when the resurrected Jesus appeared to them unexpectedly and again proved he was alive, inviting them to touch his nail-scarred hands. But that was yesterday, and today they awakened to Monday without Jesus visibly present with them again, just like you and I did today. We have no record of what they did today or tomorrow. We know they eventually went back to their homes in Galilee to resume some normalcy of life. Let's join them there to see if we can find some clues about living a life in a way that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is relevant and makes a difference in the practical stuff of life. Both Matthew and Mark record that in the excitement of that resurrection morning, the women who first came to the tomb were told that Jesus was alive, resurrected, and he would meet his disciples soon in Galilee. Now, the resurrection, of course, happened in Jerusalem. The Galilee region was home to these disciples, but several days' walk north. Matthew tells us, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Matthew 28:16. These men had spent lots of time in the Galilee region with Jesus, so they knew his favorite spots. Lake Galilee is surrounded on all sides by high hills, and sitting on those hillsides you can view the entire lake and the shoreline towns. In those days, that would have included Capernaum, Tiberias, Bethsaida, and others. So it's not difficult for me to see these men sitting high up on the hill, looking out and talking about many memories they all had of this region that they loved, and also about their future and what they should be doing to get back to making their livings, caring for their families, you know, the real practical stuff of life that you and I deal with every day. Matthew continues with the story of that day. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We don't know who doubted, but that tells me, despite the fact this was now at least the third time Jesus had appeared to them alive, it was still so hard to believe, and some of them didn't know how the resurrection of Jesus should be affecting their everyday lives. I presume this means Jesus did as he had done twice before. He just appeared and then walked into their gathering. Suddenly he was there, sitting on the hillside with them, looking out over the lake with them. How do you think you would have reacted? Here's an important statement and question. God is omnipresent. It means everywhere present, all at the same time. So, is God there with you, right where you are, right now, even if you can't see him? Jesus spoke to his friends that day, sitting on the hillside. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? It means there is no power greater than resurrected Jesus. It means there is no place, visible or invisible, here on earth or anywhere in the universe, that the power of Jesus is not supreme. It means nothing ever happens anywhere that is not permitted by the supreme power of Jesus. It means Jesus can do anything he wants at any time, any place, simply because he has all authority over all. The resurrected Jesus has authority over everything going on in your life and mine right now and for the rest of our lives. Everything. Should that make a difference in how you and I view the circumstances of our lives? What does that say about the things that concern you or frighten you or cause you to worry? Jesus continued speaking that day, explaining what difference his authority should make for his friends. I think he may have lifted up his arm, pointing out over the lake and to the towns, which were their homes, as he spoke. Therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I think Jesus paused right there. There it is. In only a few words, Jesus had given them their life purpose for the rest of their lives and how to live every day as though the risen Jesus was right there beside them. They were to get back to living life normally, but their new priority was sharing the story of Jesus and helping people know Jesus as they did. As people would come to trust the truth about Jesus, then they were to be baptized, giving them the chance to publicly proclaim their relationship with and allegiance to Jesus. And the disciples were to be careful to teach people exactly what Jesus had taught them about God, about living life in relationship with God, about living in the practical stuff of life as a God-honoring person. I think the disciples turned and looked out over this wonderful, very familiar place. Jesus was saying, get back to living life. Get back to your jobs, your families, your friends. But live life honoring God and helping people know the resurrected Jesus with every choice you make, every word, every action, every relationship. I think they were nodding their heads as their eyes roamed over this very familiar landscape. They had a purpose, a great purpose. And then Jesus said one more thing to his friends. And I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. Now smiles. Do you see the smiles on all their faces? Jesus would be with them. What wonderful news! Nothing could be more encouraging. Eventually, first one, then the others got up from sitting on the hillside. It was time to get back to living, back to work, back to their families. And as they turned to thank Jesus, he was gone. Again. But this time, I don't think they got upset or frustrated. This time, I think these men understood. Jesus was asking them to live their lives knowing Jesus was right there with them, even though unseen. Now, my friends, as you and I step into this Monday, can we live life embracing those words as the guiding light for how Jesus wants you and me to live the rest of our lives, wherever you live? If you have trusted Jesus to be your Savior and you are living in an authentic relationship with Him. I found a great song for this type of purposeful, Jesus-guided living, and I'll meet you right back here tomorrow for more of how to walk with Jesus every day.